just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. One more time. Let's sing it again now. We're together again.
So grateful to be here. Father, we're so magnetized to what we've heard already. Lord, because you've drawn us, Lord, you've given us your word. We've heard it through your servants, Lord, already. God, but here we are once again, Lord, in need of you. I pray, God, that as we raise our hands in sign of surrender, Lord, we just now focus our minds, Lord, and our spirits. I pray, God, that you would come and speak a word, Lord. Something that changes, something that settles a heart, something that challenges us, Lord. Something that strengthens us, Lord Jesus. Something that encourages us, Lord. Whatever it is that you want to say, I just raise my hand and say, Lord, I'm ready to receive it, Lord. Father, may you just come and be welcome amongst us as we sing, Lord, and be with your servant, Lord, as he ministers your word. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. Great to have all of you here this afternoon. I see some of you taking pictures of the screens and racing to take notes. All of this material will be available on our website. So the PowerPoints, the services in the audio, we do not have video, but in the audio. If we had, families here and sisters, we'd do a video, but it's just you guys. So we're just doing audio, and that'll all be on the website, and so you can at least use that and have those resources available, because there's just so much good stuff that it's hard to keep up with it. So we want to make that available to you. Plus, over time, I'm talking to lots of different folks who've been at men's meetings in different places in different parts of the world, and we're going to be uploading other services from other men's meetings on the website. Let me tell you, many of them have been classic meetings, and you'd enjoy going back and listening to some. They're timeless sermons, and I can name several of them. And Brother Lonnie Jenkins taught for years. Brother Tim's been on the roster for many years, and Brother Paul did one. I still refer to it as James, when a righteous man prays, and it was just outstanding, and we're loading those up on the website, so they'll be available in pictures from different meetings. So you might want to check the site after we're done here. We're uploading, and after we're done this weekend, it should be available to you. We want to welcome Brother Stacy Goodbread. Where's Brother Stacy?
Yes.
Finally made it in, and I guess he didn't. He's here. He's outside there. So made it in from Florida. So we're glad to have him today. Well, I'm just honored to have Brother Steve minister for our last service on this Saturday afternoon. And my boys have always been a close part of what we've done here at the men's meeting. And just delighted to have him to speak today. Andrew's not here, as you may have noticed. He's in Washington attending a wedding there in his former church. So he sends his regards, and not here, but all my guys have been very faithful, and Steve with us today. He's pastoring in Christiansburg, Virginia. Steve, we're going to turn it over to you. God bless you.
Telling everybody, this is like taking a breath of fresh air, just being here, being with every one of you, just being in the services, how they've all meshed together already. It's just a beautiful thing. And I tell every young man that I come across, you need to be there. You need to be there. Go get there. I'll pay your way. Just get there. It's that important to me, and it's had such a tremendous impact on my life. So I think it's a good thing that you've chosen to be here. And it's just such an honor to be able to serve Christ with you together.
Amen.
And to be able to speak about the things of God together. Amen. I would ask that you pull, okay? You really are 50%.
Amen.
I need you to pull. Would you do that for me?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Matt, for praying for us. I want you to turn with me, if you don't mind, to 1 Corinthians Chapter 1. I want to be, if you want to stand, that'd be great. I want to be honest with you this afternoon, just for the sake of time. Time is the one thing that we cannot buy more of. So I'm just going to jump right into it, if that's okay. So gird the loins of your mind, and let's just go through this together. I want to be vulnerable with you, but I also want to be honest with you. And just the way that the Lord has been dealing with me over the last few years, but also specifically over the last few months. And Brother Tim had made that statement, the way that I treat you is my attitude towards God. And I want to speak specifically about that. And I'm honest to goodness, Brother Tim, I didn't change my notes after you said that. This has been on my mind and my heart for months. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 1, verse 10. And this is Paul to the church at Corinth. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing."
Amen.
That ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Amen.
You can have your seats. Thank you for standing with me. I am always been amazed at the impact that one man can have on a group of people. It's fascinating. One person, the impact that they can have, the effect that they can have. Whatever category, religion, rock and roll, politics, whatever it is, the impact that one person can have, it's astounding. Good or bad, right? Good or bad. The impact that one person can have is just amazing. Brother Branham, he says this, in 1963, he says, "You're going to follow somebody." So the one common denominator behind men who have great followings is there's followers. So there's a cause, there's a leader, and there's a follower. Right? It's just common denominator. There's always one of these. There's the three that are there when you have great people. Churchill, Hitler, there's a cause, there is the leader, and there are the followers. Brother Branham said, "You're going to follow somebody."
Amen.
He said, the way that you follow that person, he says, the person that you're following, Paul said one time, "Be followers of me as I am follower of Christ." There's one thing for certain, that you will follow someone.
Amen.
But I also find it equally interesting that as a follower, you carry an influence.
Right?
Each one of you have such a profound, God uses people, right? What he said today, God uses people, he doesn't use organizations. He doesn't use systems, he uses people.
Amen.
He uses you. You are God's method of expression. Everybody with me?
Amen.
He uses you. Every single one of you guys in this room carries a significant influence on the people around you.
Amen.
Your family, your marriage, your children, your church, your community, your work. Every single one of you in this room, that's the common denominator between all of us, we carry an influence.
Yeah.
You can be a pew, a bench warmer. You can come into church for 30 years. and do nothing outside of just coming to church and sit there, and you are a profound part of that community of believers. Within the apostolic order of a church, pastor, a little bit, Matt, within a church, a group of people, you carry a profound influence. You ask your wives, ask your children, you influence them. So as a follower, you carry an influence. But we're going to follow something. Everybody with me? You can follow the pursuit of a career. You can follow whatever it is. And fill in the blank. You can follow this cause. You can follow this cause. Arnold von Winkler, he had a cause. He was passionately pursuing that cause. You go through all the stories. There's always a follower. I always find, and oftentimes, and I say this with all respect, I don't mean this in any negativity at all, oftentimes we can put ministry on a pedestal somehow. I think we can minimize our own effect within our own assemblies. As brothers serving Christ together, we can put ministry on a pedestal. That's a very dangerous thing. Quite frankly, because the ministry, as a minister, as a pastor, I'm a public servant. So technically, I'm underneath the people serving them. With me? For the unity, we're the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. For you. The ministry exists for you. They don't exist for themselves. Right. You take away you have a bunch of guys who just speak.
Right.
You are the purpose of the ministry.
Amen. Right.
God set an order, an apostolic order. He set a process so that you could be fulfilled.
Right.
So that you could be unified together to the cause of Christ. That's why the ministry exists.
Amen.
So if we misinterpret that sometimes, we can get ourselves into trouble. Brother Branham, he says, God wants one man that he can get his complete control. That's right. One man is fully surrendered to him.
Amen.
That's what I want to be.
Amen.
That's the kind of guy that I want to be.
Yes,
that's the kind of an assembly that I want to have.
Amen.
Is guys that are fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We serve God together, but they're not fully surrendered to Brother Steve.
Right.
Brother Steve is there for a reason, just as men of an assembly are there for a reason.
Right.
We follow Christ and Him alone.
Amen.
You have an important part to play in your home. You have an important part to play in your marriage. Brother Jack, that was just so amazing. So clear and so practical.
Amen.
So wonderful. You have a part to play in your marriage, and it's such an important part.
Amen.
You have an influence in that.
Yes.
Now, I believe God wants to cultivate that, but I also believe if there is anything that Satan will try to do, he will try to utilize that influence to the wrong.
Right.
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 That's right.
Satan has nothing better to do than to try to plague you in your mind and cause your influence to be misused or mishandled.
Right.
I genuinely believe that. Brother Branham said, sometimes Satan can take you, and when you think that you're doing the will of God, he can make you a proposition, and you'll fall for it.
Yeah.
He says this consistently all throughout his ministry. He says sometimes you can fall for it. Paul would say this to the church at Corinth in the next book. He said, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts would be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ.
Yeah.
He is not speaking of the soul.
Right.
He says, your thoughts.
Right.
The battle is not for your soul.
Right.
We're all together on that. The battle is not for your soul. The battle is for your mind.
Wow.
The greatest battle that is ever fought was for the mind. It is in the mind.
Right.
That's Satan's avenue. That's the way that he gets to you. Pastor, layman, piano player, singer, trustee, deacon, how spiritually elite you are, or however spiritually insignificant you feel. Satan's avenue into every single one of us in this room is your mind. That's how he gets to you. He has access to it. He can mess with it. He can get in there. He has an avenue into your mind. It's not a battle for the soul. It's a battle for the mind. The soul is signed, sealed, and delivered. Praise be to God for that.
Amen.
Brother Barry, he used to say, we don't fight for the victory. We fight from a position of victory.
Amen. Amen.
We fight to allow the victory to be realized.
Amen.
You fight so that you can be the fulfillment that there is an overcoming.
Amen.
You are the manifested word, a seed, word, bride. You are the, it is the manifesting time. You are the expression of God. That's why we fight.
Amen.
So Satan has an avenue into your mind, and those thoughts, those things, you have the responsibility of cultivating, bringing into subjection to the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying, Eve, first now, before it ever came about, Eve had a mind. She had body, spirit, soul. Everybody say amen to that?
Amen. Amen.
She was just like you. Adam, the makeup was just like you. And so she had to conceive that in her thoughts before it ever became a reality.
Wrong.
Right? So he's saying, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his coming, your thoughts will be led astray.
Right.
Now, the scripture also warns this, and we know this to be the case. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You may not think that the mind or the power of thought is that of that much of importance, but that's just what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I think too often we just push this off on young people or young sisters. Guard your heart. I don't think if there's any group on planet Earth that should be guarding their hearts, it's you, brothers.
Amen.
I think if the amount of influence that all of the brothers in this room carry in their own assemblies, in your own families, the trickle effect that you can have and the influence that you're capable of, if there's any group that Satan wants to get after, it's going to be you.
Amen.
If any group should be guarding their heart with all diligence, it should be us.
Amen.
Don't tell me that Satan isn't trying to get into your mind and mess with it.
Right.
Jiggle things around and do this and throw this thought in there and throw this thought in there. That's why Paul said to Holy Ghost-filled people, he says, casting down imaginations. There's five avenues to the spirit realm. You with me? Five avenues that Satan can get to you.
Yeah,
imaginations. Paul is saying to Holy Ghost-filled people, casting down imaginations and bringing every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought.
Amen.
To the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Now keep in mind, the battle is not for the soul, the battle is for your mind. It's the greatest battle that's ever fought. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on, and it will continue on until your body is changed. Casting down imaginations. Satan, access into your mind, we bring those thoughts subject. Now I believe this with all my heart. The primary goal of Satan is to destroy your confidence in the Word.
Yes.
He can't destroy the Word. He cannot destroy the promise concerning you within the Word.
Right.
So he'll try to get at your confidence in it.
Amen.
Amen. He'll try to eat at and destroy your confidence in the Word.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to make that any more complicated. That's the simplicity of it. That's Satan's. That's what he wants to do, is destroy your confidence in it. To make you live beneath your privileges.
Right. Right.
To make you live at fivefold and tenfold, not a hundredfold.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He wants you to live beneath your privileges. Obviously, he's got nothing better to do. The puncher punches. That's what the puncher does. He punches.
Right.
Brother Branham says he's got a punch and he's going to punch you.
Right.
Holy Ghost-filled men.
Right.
Men who are sealed into Jesus Christ, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And here's the puncher. Rest assured, he's going to punch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brother Branham, he says this. As long as Satan's got us fighting one another, he doesn't even have to fight.
Exactly right.
Now, just judging by Lucifer's character, I would assume that there's a little bit of laziness there. If he didn't have to fight, why would he? So it would make sense then, logically, that the primary method of him destroying your confidence in the Word is to have each one of us fighting with one another.
Wow.
Because if he can do that, well then he can sit back and be like, watch this. This is going to be good.
That's
He doesn't even have to fight. This is so amazing. It struck my heart so much. He doesn't even have to fight if we're fighting one another. Holy Ghost filled men. This is not a battle for your soul, because that question is signed, sealed, and delivered. It's done.
Amen.
Praise be to God for that.
Yes, sir.
But the greatest battle that's ever fought is for your honor.
Right.
Wow.
And he says, Brother Branham, if Satan got us to fighting one another, well, he doesn't have to fight anything. Now I want to tell you why this was on my heart, why it just struck me so much. There's this story, I'm going to paraphrase it for the sake of time. There's this story that Brother Branham tells in the sermon, God had Explained, 1961. And he's there, and he's in the Baptist community. He leaves that because he doesn't have places to preach. They're shutting him out. So he goes to the Pentecostal group that is allowing him to preach, right? So he's there, and he gets to the Pentecostal group out in Seattle, the beautiful Seattle. And he gets there, and he says in the beginning of the sermon, you should listen to it. It's within the first 30 minutes, the first 30 and 40 minutes of the sermon. And he says, so when I got there, I found that there was as many divisions in the Pentecostal church as there was in the Baptist church.
Right.
Now, the thing that I found interesting is that there are no message churches.
Yeah.
At this point in time, there are no message churches.
Okay.
There's different denominations, but there's no message churches. There's no community of believers, if you will. The Church of the Living God will never denominate.
Amen.
It's a living organism. It grows, it contracts, it expands, it moves with the Holy Spirit. It's led by the Holy Spirit. Sons and daughters of God are led by the Holy Spirit. It'll never denominate. So there were no message churches at the time, and Brother Branham is there, and he's there in the Pentecostal church, and he's looking, and he says, my goodness, this is what he says. He said, and they had separated themselves and had drawn little boundary lines. And all the other brethren would begin to come to me and say, why, you're a Jesus only with this group over here. Now, keep in mind, this is within the denomination, there are different dissenting factions that are breaking off.
Right.
In other words, what was actually happening in what he says is that it was an issue of doctrine. It was an issue of baptismal doctrine. These guys believed in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These guys believed in Jesus only. You'd be baptized in. A serious doctrinal issue. Right?
Right.
We all know what baptism is, and we all know that's a serious issue. It's a very serious doctrinal issue. Brother Branham comes into the scene and he says, now you've got this over here, and you've got these brothers over here. This is within the denomination. This is inter-organizational conflict. These are brothers within the same group.
Talk about it.
And they're a dissenting faction within the whole. And Brother Branham is saying, and this is why he says that. He says, as long as Satan's got us fighting one another, well, he doesn't even have to fight at all.
Right.
So Brother Branham is trying to bring the message of the hour, and he's with this conflict, and he says this. He says, this is just amazing me. He said, little boundary lines. He says, well then, I tried to hold it off as long as I could, because Brother Branham could, with the anointing of the ministry at the time, he could have gone in and laid and said, this is the truth.
Right.
You either follow it. Now, this is the interesting thing. The word separates. Separation and division is implied with the word. It cuts asunder, right? The word separates. I was talking to Brother Anwar at lunch. Brother Anwar is, I think, one of the best church splitters in the message. He walks into a church in New York. Within a couple of months, half the people are saying, this guy is preaching the truth. And the other group in the church, led by the pastor's wife, are saying, nope, he is not of God. We have to just throw Brother Anwar out of the church. So half the church come over and say, we believe the message of the hour. That's a good division. The word separates. What Brother Branham is talking about is between brethren. What Paul is urging, he says, don't let there be divisions among you, brethren. He's out there, and there's within the organization, there's different groups that are warring against in the same denomination. And he's saying, well, I began to study what their ideas was and what their separations was and what made them separated.
Yeah.
This is amazing. The prophet of God taking the time to study what the other ones thought.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a lesson.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He's taking the time to say, no, what do you guys think? What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm.
He's just stepping back. He said, I held off, right? Because Brother Branham was a fighter. He could have gone in there and said, this is the truth. But he said, I studied what they thought. Now, he goes on and he begins to explain different things. Now, this is the interesting thing. He says, but I found out that this evil spirit had got among them and had caused hatred and malice over the issues that had come among them. So what had happened is, if you go back to the scripture that we just read in Paul, when Paul was saying, casting down imaginations, casting down strongholds. What a stronghold is, a toehold. And Brother Branham is saying, an evil spirit is that had essentially gotten a toehold because of an issue. Because of a difference in thought. Right? Now, interestingly, Brother Branham, he stands between the two and he says, now, Brother Ness, do you believe that Brother Schism has the Holy Ghost? Brother Ness said, I do. He says, no, Dr. Schism, do you believe that Brother Ness has the Holy Ghost? And Brother Schism says, I do. So he says, and he literally, he says, both of them believe they have the Holy Ghost. And he says, it just doesn't make sense. That's literally what he said. Literally does not make sense. Two Holy Ghost-filled brothers. A serious doctrinal issue. Now, keep in mind, Brother Branham is not implying doctrinal error. He never did. He never implied, oh, it's okay to have a doctrinal issue here, to exist in error. He never implies that. But he's drawing back here, and he's learning what the different ideas are. He said, both brothers believe they have the Holy Ghost. And they said, what are you going to do? And Brother Branham says, this evil spirit had got among them and caused hatred and malice over the issues that had come among them. And I thought, that's just exactly as good as the devil wants. That's what the devil wants. You want to know what the devil wants? The devil wants, as long as you've got your guns trained on one another within the greater community. This is not Methodists and Catholics. This is not Methodists and Pentecost. This is Pentecostals all the way down within the organization and brothers that are supposed to be believing the same thing. He says, if the devil can get you trained at one another, little bites, little statements, little things, little tearing down, it'll cause a division, and evil spirits will grab toeholds among that and rip congregations, rip brothers, rip hearts. What a shame. Brother Branham is calling out exactly what it is, an evil spirit that's gotten a toehold amongst Holy Ghost-filled brothers.
Amen.
He says, as long as the guns are trained against one another, he doesn't have to do anything. Now he says, my decision has already been made. He said, my decision is to stand between both of you and join neither organization and say with arms around both of you, we're brethren. We're brethren. Now keep in mind, he's just about to preach on the Godhead. He is going to set the doctrinal error to rest. He is bringing the word that will naturally separate right from wrong. But he's stepping back first and saying, brothers, let's serve the cause of Christ together. Let's go to the word together. So he doesn't say, this is the word. Now you get over there and you get over there. And draw a boundary line between them. He says, no, an evil spirit is what has drawn the boundary line. So he says, come on, let's get together and let's go to the word.
Amen.
Let the word be the final say. Blows my mind. Now, he says this. Now, I said to Brother Schism and Brother Ness to answer the questions. He says, I don't want to take either side, brethren. I know as long as you fuss, you're both wrong. He says, as long as you fuss, he said, you're doctrinally right, you're doctrinally wrong, but as long as you fuss, you're both wrong.
Right.
He said, I'd rather be wrong in my doctrine and right in my heart than to be right in my doctrine.
Amen.
Wrong in my heart.
Amen.
Now, I believe with the power of the Holy Spirit, in a person's life, the right heart can bring the right doctrine. Brother Branham never implied it's okay to be in error doctrinally. But he said, first, let's get together and let's go to the Word so that we can be right doctrinally, but we can do it together. Paul said the same thing. God is looking for singularity of purpose. God is looking for singularity of purpose. He's looking for confidence in the Word. So that I would be in you and you would be in me. He's looking for singularity of purpose. That's why Paul said, don't let there be divisions among you. He would say to the Ephesians here, he says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen.
That's the objective. So Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, he's speaking very precisely. He's saying, what I want you to do is endeavor. Right? Now, we can endeavor, but we can fail at the endeavor.
Right?
It's not a battle of the soul. Satan is trying to get to the mind. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Buddy, okay?
Yes.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the bond of spirit. Look at this in the Amplified. The Amplified just takes the definition in the Greek and expands it. Okay? You may not believe in other definitions. That's fine. It's the same scripture. It's just expanded words. So you just take the same words and expand it. So he says, make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace, each individual working together to make the whole successful. That is beautiful.
Amen.
He's saying, make every effort, every single one of you. This is not just to pastors. This is not just to the spiritual elite. This is to every single one of us in this room.
Right.
This is among brethren. This is among sisters.
Right.
This is among young people.
Right.
This is to the believer. This is God dealing with an individual.
Amen.
Because you are the ones that can allow the thought to be nurtured and progress into an action.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
What is a word? A thought expressed.
Yes.
You say something, it's a thought.
Right.
That's how Satan can work among us. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a singularity of purpose. Now, Genesis to Revelation, it's clear that we should separate from ungodliness. Everybody say amen to that?
Amen. Amen.
We should separate from ungodliness. But this is what the scripture says about when to separate, when to divide. It says, there are six things that the Lord doth hate. Yea, are seven abominations unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. The Lord hates it when someone sows discord among brethren. There can be two different dissenting factions within a larger group. And a brother who would just so intentionally sow discord among brethren. God so precisely said, I hate it.
Yeah.
You think you're right? Great. You think you're right? Great. Here's the prophet of God saying, come on, brothers. Let's be brethren. We're brethren.
Amen.
And then he lays out the truth. They approach it with the right attitude. The Lord hates it when it's the other way around. Now, this is the way we see it. We're going to come over here. You boys don't go to that meeting. And these boys are saying you don't go to that meeting.
Come on,
amen.
Can I just be vulnerable?
Preach.
Can we be real?
Go ahead.
He's saying that's not a singularity of purpose. So Brother Branham is saying, let's be brethren.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let's come together. The word needs to be preached. We need to have singularity of purpose within the word.
Right.
But if we're drawing divisions, God hates it.
Right.
So much so. That he says in Romans, he says in James, speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer, but a judge. Romans 16, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. Ah, okay. So it's not a division of thought or of opinion. Mark the one that causes the division. Are you with me? It's not the one who differs in opinion. It's the one that causes the division by it, within it. I hope I'm not saying this wrong. Maybe we should read it again. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. He says, now those, and he does not say, now those that differ with you in opinion, or those that are not thinking the same as you, avoid them. The difference is necessary because when you have two pieces of iron that rub against one another, they both become sharp. So the necessity of this piece of iron and this piece of iron rubbing against one another makes them both sharp. So the necessity is that there are differences, and the difference is we come together on the basis of the word, and if Satan can shake our confidence in the word, then we can divide and there's no iron sharpening iron. So in other words, these pieces of iron come over here, and these pieces of iron come over here, and the irons are sharpened against whatever. You with me? He says, the one that causes the division, avoid that one. If someone is sowing discord among brethren, be careful of that one.
Right?
We should live in forgiveness. We should live in all these things. But he's saying, if someone differs from you, now, let me give you an example of this. I think a lot of times there can be a difference in terminology. An example, the quote, Brother Tim, that you put up, there's a difference. God does not deal with organizations. He doesn't deal with systems. He deals with men, individuals. That's true. But God is extremely organized. Look at the temple. The precise nature. I want you to have this precise sacrifice at this precise time of year by this precise priest that has to be wearing this precise garment. They cannot have this type of garment. He has to wash here, go here, blood here. The organization in the temple is amazing. But God doesn't deal with the organization. He deals with the individual. But the apostolic order that's set is for the individual to manifest the word of God. So God is very organized in how he set those things. Now, I want to share with you how a difference in terminology can happen. I never said that organized religion is good. But what can happen is you can hear that and say, oh, Brother Steve believes in organized religion. He just said that God is extremely organized.
Preach.
Brother Stephen just said that God is, he condones organizational, he believes in organizational systems.
Preach.
Now I can text that and say, do you have any quotes, as someone, a friend, do you have any quotes on organizational systems and how they're bad? Now notice I said that God is organized. I never said anything about system. But the difference in terminology, it's a game of telephone.
Right?
We're human beings. We talk to one another. That's a good thing. We should have friends. We should talk to one another. But I said something, and then you can take that and you can run with it. The difference in terminology, the term organization means singularity of purpose. An organized group of people behind a cause. The organization term itself doesn't mean the legality of, you know, a denominational system. It means the singularity of cause. That's the actual definition of the word, right? As Brother Branham used it, right? That's the definition of it. But you can perceive that wrong and then act on that perception of what I've said.
Exactly.
When I meant something totally different.
Right. Right.
Pretty soon you're rolling with that, and you tell somebody else, and somebody else says, oh yeah, but Stephen believes in organizational religion. Then all of a sudden everybody's thinking, yeah. Well, that group, that, you know, Brother Stephen's, his church, they believe in organizational religion.
Right.
And all these things. And then all of a sudden, that can come across a pulpit.
Yeah.
Right? Even unknowingly. People can have conversations. Ministers can have conversations. That'll be a preacher against the pulpit. Then all of a sudden, the people begin to slowly divide without even realizing it. You can get caught up in something so simple that's a thought, that's a perceived truth. It's not really anywhere close to what I said.
Right.
Brother Branham is saying here, now, it's not the differences. Right? Paul is saying, now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause the division and offense. Right? He says, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. I never said anything that was contrary. I just used the definition of a word. I said God is organized. I think that's a compliment. I believe that God is organized.
Amen.
Thanks be to God that his process concerning my redemption was so precisely organized before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
God doesn't deal with organizations. He deals with me as an individual.
Right.
But because of the organization that he set in the stars and in the temple and all of these things, I'm right in tune with that by the grace of God.
Amen.
But because of a perception of truth, I can be rolling with something that I didn't even mean. So it's a fascinating thing. What it is human nature, actually. Now, the important thing is that iron sharpens iron. Paul is saying here, he's saying, please, don't let divisions exist. He's urging you. The scripture says, I urge you, I plead with you. I want you to understand. Speak the same thing. Speak the same thing. The same judgment, the same. I want you to speak that. Don't let there be divisions among you. He's pleading with the church. And who causes the division? An individual with a thought.
Right.
Now, I want to give you an example here. I'm trying to do this as quickly as I can. In Exodus chapter 18, you can turn with me there if you want to, Exodus chapter 18, verse 16. They're in the wilderness. Moses is there. He's got such administrative needs, right? There's all these different administration problems and all these different things. He's counseling people to the point where he's just wiped. Moses is wiped, okay? They are still exodusing, and so he's troubled. Jethro, his father-in-law, comes and says, here's what I think you should do, and I want you to plead with God to ask this. Moses went and prayed, and God granted it, and he did it. He says, I want you to do this, verse 21. Thou shalt provide out of all the men, all the people, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over the men to counsel with you and to do this. Now, I was thinking of this. You cannot have the deliverance of truth apart from personality. You think about Brother Jack, you think about Brother Tim, you think about Brother Jason. The difference in personalities, yet the same truth coming forth. God using different personalities. That's what preaching is the deliverance of truth through personality. You can't have Paul's message without Paul. You can't have Elijah's message without Elijah, right? God has used the spirit of Elijah several times, right? He uses that. You can't have the deliverance of truth apart from personality. Personality is important to God. He crafted you and fearfully and wonderfully made you. So there's people in support of the ministry, right? There's people in support of the way that God set up an apostolic order in a church. You have the pastor, you have the people in the church, right?
Yeah.
You have administrative people underneath that ministry,
yeah.
Right? They support the cause of Christ. Brother Brown said, when you're selecting a deacon, make sure that they support the ministry, right?
Yeah, right.
That they're behind the ministry.
Right. Right.
You see, and not to get ahead of myself, the important thing that you need to understand is that you play an important influence in your assemblies. Every single one of you. You're a deacon, you're a trustee, you're a song leader, you're a seat warmer, you're whatever you may be. You are important to God and you are important in the assembly of God.
Amen.
You are important in your local community and in your church.
Amen.
So Jethro is saying, now Moses, this is the kind of a man that you need. You need an able man, a man that's able and efficient. Now, this is the blueprint that God allows to be an administrative help to the man of God.
Yeah, right.
To the cause of Christ that's there, he gives this administrative quality, and this is it. He says, able man, ability, efficiency, involving moral worth, such as fear God, a reverential trust of God, a hatred of evil. He says, men of truth, emeth. Assuredly established, faithful, right, sure, true, reliable, sure, stable, continuing, peace, stability, faithfulness, reliability. That's the blueprint that God allowed to serve the ministry and the message of the hour. He established Moses with men around him, men like this, men that feared God, able men, men of truth, hating covetousness. It was men that, in other words, in this term, hating covetousness, gain made by violence, unjust gain, profit, gain greedily. In other words, when you have people supporting the ministry, you don't want somebody in there who's greedy to get a position or to try to rise above someone else.
Right.
You want someone who's sure on the word and they're stable. But able men, such as fear God, and men that fear God are able to be moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the type of man that God allowed to be around Moses to administer and to influence the entirety of the camp were men who were able. They were truthful. They were sure. In other words, they didn't hop over here with this thought. They didn't hop over here or do this. They weren't greedy, in essence, of, well, we got to get over here and we got to do this. And misplaced, they were sure in the truth.
Yes.
That's the kind of a person that God wants.
Yes.
Someone who's not shaken by things that set themselves against the knowledge of God. Or things that derive away from the cause of Christ. Now, I want to give you an example of where my heart is. And I think the best example of this would be politics of how you can get caught up in a cause.
Sure.
Now, the reason I chose politics is that the mere mention of the word, the tension in the room changes. That's exactly why I picked it. We're all brothers in here.
Yeah.
The mere mention of the word politics,
come on,
and the room gets tense. You can, I don't even know where to start with this. A lot of times it can simply be a perceived truth. There's this guy. Anybody recognize this? January 6th? This little dude right here. Danny Rodriguez. His name is Danny Rodriguez. So he's there. This is Officer Fanone. This is January 6th, Capitol riot. Everybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
January 6th. This is Danny Rodriguez. This is Officer Fanone. He was in there guarding the people in the Capitol. This is Danny in the red hat. I'm not going to express an opinion, a political opinion. That's not right, frankly. So I'm not going to side with different opinions. I want to express to you I want to help you understand how you can get caught up in something that oftentimes you don't even realize.
Yeah.
The natural types of spiritual. And so this is Danny Rodriguez. Now Danny was a troubled guy. He had gotten into some gangs and things like that. And if you go back, he was he got caught up in some Republican rallies, and this was even before Trump came around. So he gets caught up in all these rallies, and then he, if you go back, and I went back and looked in his Facebook feed, okay, you can see a slow transition from Danny Rodriguez going and looking at QAnon stuff and starting to repost things. He was just, you know, posting whatever, rock and roll things and all these different things. And all of a sudden, he started to get wrapped up in far right-wing political rhetoric, right? So he gets, now this is the way that algorithms work, and I want you all to understand this. It's an if-then calculation. That's what an algorithm is. Facebook is an algorithm. So if you have Facebook, and you go, there's an article, and you're scrolling, and there's an article, and it says, Biden is a lizard man. And you click on that article, click. The algorithm says, if they clicked on that, then they will like this article over
right.
here. So click, now, the algorithm says, then they will like all of these lizard people stories about Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi has been guaranteed she's a lizard woman. And so now all of this will populate your feed. You're clicking on it. Pelosi's a lizard woman.
Come on.
And you're clicking on it. And then all of a sudden, all these other things. Now before you know it, QAnon, which QAnon is just a guy named Q that got on and started to post things. No one knows if it's true or not. No one!
Right.
And it swung almost the entirety of the far right over to this political theory of deep state, or whatever it was. It was actually started by Pizzagate, that Democrats are running a sex trafficking ring with children from a pizza parlor place in D.C.
Yeah.
It caused such a such a rile in the community of Trump followers that this guy shows up with an AK-47 in the pizza shop and says, show me where the children are. It was an article. It's a pizza shop. There's different organizations that have done all of these different regulations. I don't know what's in the basement of the pizza shop. I've never been there. But if you're clicking on it and you're thinking, oh, there's a sex trafficking ring in the bottom of this pizza shop. And Hillary is the ringleader. You understand? All of a sudden now you're thinking, oh my goodness. Now Trump is draining the swamp because Trump is tweeting, right? He was asked directly about the pizza shop and he says, I don't know. He never said no, but he said, I don't know. Trump is a master marketer, right? So he's tweeting. And then all of a sudden people are clicking on the tweets. And all of a sudden you're thinking, Nancy Pelosi is a lizard woman. Natural types of spiritual knowledge. Just stick with me, okay? So
work with it, brother.
This is Danny. Danny yielded his heart essentially to an algorithm.
Goodness.
He gets caught up in a cause and says, we've got to take America back. I don't know if we ever lost it. I mean, it's been here all the time. But he says, I'm getting off into opinion.
It's time to go.
A lot longer than I am.
Look well.
I am waiting with confidence. I need this water. I'm pushing my thumb on that. Just to illustrate the point. So Danny is yielding his heart, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Wow.
Now Danny is perceiving truth that has no relevance in the real world. We don't know. We should all go to the basement of the pizza shop and tear the place apart before we assume that Hillary is there and doing all the things that she's doing. Right? We don't know. Now, government does wrong things. That's what spawns conspiracy theories. It's because government is corrupt. They do things that are wrong. That's what fuels conspiracy theories. So there's enough wrong that they're obviously going to, you know, spin things off in political rhetoric. So Danny is eating all of this up. He's invited to January 6th. Now Trump says, be there. It will be wild, right? I'm not showing any opinion. Trump said, I want you to be there. It's going to be a wild event. So Danny is thinking, we got to take America back. Meanwhile, all of the other people who are QAnon followers are saying, you got to take America back. He's there. He's walking to the Capitol. Someone slips a taser into his hand. Now, later, when Danny was, because Danny is now in jail with a felony, He was interviewed by the FBI, and under tears, he says, I have no idea what I was doing there. He's walking down to the Capitol. Someone slips a taser into his hand. Now, at this point, everybody's, you know, beating with hockey sticks, trying to get in. I don't really know what they're going to do when they get in there, but they wanted to get in. So they try to get in. They pull this guy out, Officer Fanone. He wasn't actually supposed to be there. He was there. They pull him out and drag him, all on body cam footage. It's moving if you want to see it. I watched it just for the research. He's there, and they're beating this guy, and people are saying all around him, take out his gun and kill him with his own gun. And here's Danny working his way, looking at the crowd with the taser in his hand. Now, Danny was just clicking on lizard people articles and reposting them to his feed. So all of a sudden, he's opening his heart to these thoughts, and he's yielding himself to these thoughts, and a word is a thought expressed.
Right.
So he's acting on a perceived truth. Nobody knows if it's true. Nobody knows if it's true. Nobody knows who Q is. And so he's there, and then he gets up to the guy, and they say, tase him, tase him. You can hear it on the article. He goes, shh. He tases the guy, I think almost four times. Gives the guy a heart attack and brain injury. Officer Fanone, the only thing that he can yell out, because they're yelling, kill him, kill him, kill him. They drug him out from the rest of the police officers. He says, I've got kids. I've got kids. Someone just miraculously out of this crowd comes and grabs him by the arm, Officer Fanone, and says, tell me where you want to go. He says, back in. So they drag him back in. Otherwise, he'd be dead. I mean, no doubt. That's speculative, but he'd probably be dead. And here's Danny tasing the guy. And then he hightails it out of town. Later, the police, they arrest him, and they're interviewing, and they said, why were you there? What were you doing? Why did you tase him? He said, I don't know. I had no idea. He was caught up in a cause. He didn't even know what was true anymore. He was so caught up. It's mob mentality. It's mob herd mentality. So if I'm saying something to you, and it's a perceived truth, and yeah, just like I said, if you misinterpret, perhaps, the understanding of Brother Steve believes in organized religion. We should be believing in organized religion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You understand? Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Now you can sway that whole and say, oh yeah, these group of people over here, these people are too Pentecostal. These people aren't Pentecostal enough. These people believe in this. These people believe in this. And all of a sudden you've got boundary lines drawn, and the people are saying, well, I guess I'm over here because I go to this church. So I can't go to that meeting because I'm in this church. All the people over here are saying, boy, I don't know why any of those people aren't over here because this meeting is great. Or I'm not going to that meeting, I guess, because I'm over here on this side of the room.
Come on.
And the boundary line's sitting right there. And I'm in the pulpit saying, now this way or this way. This doctrine on baptism. Brother Branham never implied that it was good to have an error in doctrine.
Right.
But he stands there and says, no. You guys come over here, and you come over here. Let's be brothers.
Amen.
He says, he says so many different places. He says, I think that's a whole lot what the couriers say. We preachers, we are so carried away with our denominations, with our little groups. Now keep in mind, there were no message churches. Right? He's speaking to the entirety. He says, now, little groups, until many times we fail to recognize when we're in the presence of God. Oh, I wish we could get to him like that. I wish that I have come to him. I'm 31 years old. Eyes are just gone. When you get my age. Before I would ever have presented some earthly need, I'd have fell on my face and said, Jesus, be merciful to me. Little maybe what a courier recognized that one day as going to be his judge. We do the same thing. We're so took up with little factions.
Yes. All right.
When the definition of what Paul was saying, let there be no divisions for you. When you unfold that definition, it means dissenting faction. A dissenting faction within a greater whole.
Right.
We're all Americans, but I'm a Republican and I'm a Democrat. Two dissenting factions within a greater whole.
Right.
Now, the interesting thing, two dissenting factions within a greater whole. Now, I find that a lot of people will speak better about Trump than they will their own brothers. I find that a lot of people in the message will speak better things about Trump. They'll speak about Trump with more respect than their own brethren. I find that a lot of people will say, in this, I'm just illustrating this point. I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican. I am a Christian. But Biden is ruining this country.
I don't know if you've ever heard that.
He said, we're so took up with little factions, little dissenting factions within the greater whole, oftentimes for nothing at all.
Wow.
You're more Pentecostal than them. I thought we had different personalities.
Wow.
I thought there was one guy here who was a little bit different, a little bit maybe quieter, and there's one who spits more when he preaches.
Right.
He's got the power of God behind him. That doesn't mean that he's any less important than this guy over here.
All right.
It just means he's so easy to draw a little boundary line because you can say, now, if you don't like it loud in heaven, or if you don't like it loud, then you're not going to like it in heaven.
Yeah.
Ever heard that?
Come on. Yes.
I have. I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all. Better calm myself down a little.
Go ahead.
You don't like it loud in heaven, if you don't like it loud, you're not going to like it in heaven. I'm like, I think I'll like it just fine. I'm not a real loud person. I'm just not a loud person. But what a shame if I'm objectified because I'm not.
Come on.
No, I worship the Lord. I'll
good.
You know exactly what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes.
To perceive truth. It's not necessarily right. Now, interesting thing. When we see these things now, a little while after, Jethro says, now, Moses, this is what I want you to do. I want you to put this type of a guy, an able man, a man who's sure on the truth and won't be so easily swayed by dissenting factions. I'm catching my drift now.
Yeah.
So they want you to find a man that's sure. Scripture says that some boys named Korah and Dathan, Korah actually turns out to be the great-grandson of Levi, and he wanted to be the high priest. So he was covetousness. He is covetous. So Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, those boys get together, and they get 250 people all in the same thought.
Yes.
And the thought was, oh, Moses, you're setting yourself up above the people too much. Now, that's God's order, right? God set that in order. This is the prophet of the day. This is the way it's going to work. And God allowed for there to be administrative men around him. But notice the difference, because he said able men, men that were men who were capable, men who were men of truth,
yeah.
Men who were assured of the truth. Dathan and Korah, what he did is Dathan and Korah grabbed men of renown and famous men.
Mm-hmm.
Now the men that he set around him for administrative capabilities, they were sure. Right? They were solid. The men that got caught up in Korah and Dathan and all of them, they were men of, they were famed. They were famous. They were men who were popular among the people, right? So they would rally all of them. They said, we got to make this faction. So they come up against the word of the day.
Right.
Are you with me? It's very clear. They come up against the word of the day.
Right.
Remember, what God hates is brethren who sow discord among brethren.
Right.
Not the differences of opinion. If they would have come and said, Moses, we don't understand this. Right? I wonder what would have happened. God says, Moses, move out of the way. I'm destroying the entirety of the congregation. God was so wroth against that approach to the word of the day. And he says, move out of the way, Moses. I'm going to destroy the entirety of the congregation. Moses throws himself in the breach. He throws himself in the breach and he says, no, Lord. And then the Lord says, all right, get out of Dathan and Korah's tent because I'm done. Opens the earth, swallows them, closes it back up.
Yes.
That's how serious God is with someone who sows discord.
Yes.
You know, there was a brother that opened a church about 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes down the road. I hope I'm okay in saying this. Great guy. Opens a church. And 20 minutes down the road. And I heard that first time. And I've got the text to prove it. I felt so happy. I'm just being real with you and being vulnerable here.
Come on, brother.
I felt so happy that I said, I am so excited. How can I help you? He just started a church 20 minutes down the road, right? I said, I want to help you. I want to support you. What can I do? We're praying for you. God bless you. I told the people in the church, I said, go. They have service on Thursdays. We have services on Wednesdays. And I said, if it's because a lot of people in that area, go to church. Go join the church. Be in the services. Enjoy it. Praise the Lord. You know, there's someone. Go and be a part of it. And I said, I've said this to the people and my brothers in the church back there. I've heard this probably so many times. And it's just been so strong on my heart that I can't help it. I said, if you would feel happier at another church, if you feel like the Lord is leading you to another church or another assembly, even 20 minutes down the road or wherever, and you want to go to that church because you know you're going to be spiritually fed or you're pursuing that, I will help you move. I want you to go there today. Don't wait. Don't sit on that. Go to that other brother. You go and you be a support in that church. It's not about tithes money. It's not about popularity. It's not about who's the right kind of a church or the right kind of this. Never intended to be wrong in doctrine. God wants doctrine to be sure. He wants men reliable and steady on the truth. He never implied an error in doctrine. But he said, what I want you to do is to be unified to the cause of Christ. He says, let there be no divisions among you. I urge you, I plead with you, don't divide. Don't say, oh, that boy opened up a church down the road. Don't go to that church. Shame on me for thinking that if I ever did. I said, if you want to go to that church and you want to support that, go, run to it. And you be the best Christian you can in that church. It's not about numbers. It's not about money. It's not about popularity. It's about you as the men of God, men of truth, being equipped in your local assembly and serving with all fervency in your local assembly. You be strong and you be sure. You be settled in the truth. Men who hate covetousness. You despise it. You separate yourself from those that cause discord.
Praise God.
Amen. We don't separate with someone because they have a difference of opinion. We wrap our arms around one another and we say, what does this side say? What does this side say? And the Holy Spirit, as it says in Ephesians chapter, let me see if I can get to it here. I love this scripture. That we henceforth be no, this is not the one. Give me a second. It's going to be really good when I get to it. Ephesians 4. It says, until we all come into the unity of the faith. It says, it's not this one. It says that the spirit of wisdom and of revelation would work according to your knowledge of him. Okay? So the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, that's the Holy Spirit. That's what we need, is the preeminence of the Holy Spirit to work in our midst.
Goodness.
According to our knowledge of him.
Yes.
I may not know everything Brother Anwar knows. I know I don't know everything that Brother Tim knows. I don't have the same level of experience. I don't know what Brother Barry, what Brother Sam, what Brother Paul, what Brother Jason. I don't know what they know. They don't know what I know. But I know that the word is true.
Yes.
And I know that if I can submit myself to the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, then God will lead me into all truth. Because John says, He is the Spirit and He will lead you into all truth.
Yeah.
He is the Spirit of truth.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of administrative support that God wanted in the local assembly, was that man that is assured in the truth. And that implies being able to be moved by it.
Amen.
And not say, oh no, this is the truth that I know. I don't want anything else added to it. What this is the power of thought. This is not... God didn't call us into uniformity. He called us into unity.
Amen.
Uniformity is the Amish. Right?
Yeah.
You got to wear these pants. You got to cut your hair like this. You got to do this. That's uniformity. God didn't call us into uniformity.
Amen.
So if I don't preach like Bob...
Come on.
Bob is certainly not going to preach like me, because I'm me and Bob is Bob.
Right.
So Bob should preach what God is putting on his heart, because Bob needs to operate according to the spirit of wisdom and revelation, according to the knowledge of God that Bob has. So Bob should seek the knowledge of God so that the spirit of wisdom and revelation can speak through Bob to speak to Steve. Now Bob should also rely on the Holy Spirit moving me to speak to him,
right,
if that's so be, right?
Amen.
No error of truth, but we come together and we grow in grace and in knowledge.
Yes.
The perfecting of the saints.
Yes.
Ain't none of us got it right. We grow, we're changed, we're molded, and we're shaped. What Satan wants to do is have us warring against each other, pop, 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 and he can sit back and be like, I'm going to take a breather. Wrong.
Come on.
This one's too Pentecostal. This one's not Pentecostal enough.
Come on.
He's saying, I want you to come into the unity of the faith.
Yeah.
Confidence in the Word of God. I want you to come into unity. What is it? It's a singularity of purpose.
Yes.
I need you just as much as you need me. I need your rough piece of iron rubbing up against me so that I can be sharp as you are sharp. And together, the spirit of wisdom and of truth will work in the midst according to our knowledge of him. You may have more knowledge of me than me. Praise be to God for that. May the spirit of wisdom and of truth bring me to that.
Amen.
But may I have the willingness to go. May I have the ability to say, oh, I want to be that. That's what unity is. The state of being united or joined as a whole, not uniform in action. The music that Brother Paul plays, very different than other churches. Ever been to Russia? Ever been to Ukraine? I don't know. There's churches in the South who play music that people in the North would think, oh, that's rock and roll. The people in the South would be like, that is so boring. Meanwhile, they're both trying to worship God.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit doesn't work necessarily in uniformity. He works in the unity of the brethren.
All right.
I need the other brother so that I can come into the perfection, to the unity of the faith.
Amen.
So that brother better not stop preaching, because I need him. He wants to say all kinds of things about me. I'm going to sit in the service and soak it up, because I need the iron sharpened in me. Heaven forbid if I say, oh, that brother's speaking about me. Draw a line. Everybody come with me over on this line. God hates it.
Amen.
The scripture says you disassociate with that guy. It's not the difference of opinion. It's not that these guys have drums and these guys don't.
Right.
But through the power of thought, Satan can put a thought and say, oh yeah, Brother Benson, it's wrong to have drums. Oh yeah, it's wrong to have drums. Oh yeah, it's rock and roll. Oh yeah, those people play rock and roll because they have drums. Oh yeah, those people are out of the world because they're worldly. They get caught up in the cause, right? The problem is that you can get caught up in the cause without even realizing it. All of a sudden, Danny Rodriguez is just click. Nancy Pelosi's a lizard person.
Right.
A few months later, he's committing a felony over a police officer, sending him into cardiac arrest, giving him a mental health issue.
Good.
And the guy's passionate about, I don't know. He's just caught up in everything. Yeah, down with them, down with everybody.
Let's get in and hand string Biden up.
Right.
For what? Let's string Mike Pence up. I thought Pence was on his side. What are you? What is your cause? What is your purpose? I don't even know.
Come on.
Meanwhile,
yeah. Come on.
True.
Amen.
Am I crazy? Oh my. It's not about uniformity. It's about unity. Bob is different than me. Bob is super quiet. Bob is not crazy. And I want to listen to Bob. But as a pastor, I've got a responsibility to my sheep.
Sure.
So I shepherd the sheep.
Amen.
But I'm not going to set a boundary line between me and Bob, because my sheep, I want them to have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If they have the Holy Ghost, and they've got a filter, then they can go over to Bob, and Bob can be preaching and elevate them just as much as they can in my assembly, right?
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir. So we work in the unity of the faith, not in uniformity.
Right.
I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that you're all different from one another. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
We don't need another Steve. Right? We don't need another brother. We don't need another David Stevens, do we, Brother David? Well, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not uniformity. It's the unity of the Spirit.
Amen.
I don't want to get caught up in Brother Steve.
Right.
Brother Steve and Brother Steve's assembly. Now, this is the way that I see it, and this is the way that you should do it. Now, if those people over there, and I've heard this phrase many times, the ministers in the message, these ministers in the message, they preach this. Who is those ministers?
Right.
Because I feel like that's a perceived truth, that maybe it's from a third party that was from a third party. That may or may not be true, because if it's speculative, if Brother Stephen says it's organized religion, but he didn't, he said God is organized.
Right.
That's vastly different truth. And it's not truth. It's speculation.
Right.
But I can be preaching and caught up in something that I don't even know. Who said that?
Right.
You got it.
Go ahead.
I don't want to be that kind of a person.
Amen.
But I can, because Satan has an avenue into my mind.
Right.
It's called the power of thought.
Sure.
Right? That's why Paul said, take heed, bring those thoughts subject to the obedience of Christ. Now, it's avenues to the spirit realm. The Bible says that there's a spirit of life and death is in the tongue. A word is a thought expressed. So you have the ability to have healing based on what you're thinking. But also based on your belief. Brother Branham, many times, and I don't have the time to go into it, I'll give you the quotes if you want them. Brother Branham would be praying for somebody, say, now you believe that the Lord will heal you. Wonderful. And he said, now hang on. You need to think right as well.
Yeah.
He said, don't let another negative thought come into your mind. You go on believing in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, that's psychology. Oh, well, I mean, Brother Branham is saying, now hang on. Don't let another negative thought come into your mind.
Amen.
So that person, they're thinking, oh, okay. So they're going back, and the battle isn't in the Sunday service. The battle is in the everyday living, the rugged Christian life. So that person has to think right as well as believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
I don't have time to go into what Brother Benham is saying here, but I want you to understand that the power of thought is so important that Brother Branham would say, don't let another negative thought come into play. He would say, now you brothers, you come along. Set aside your factions and come along together on the basis of the word. He would say to people, you have the greatest battle in the mind is the one that's the greatest ever fought. Wow, I butchered that title. But you know what I'm talking about. And he's saying, you have the ability to cultivate or nurture thoughts that set themselves against the knowledge of God as a Holy Ghost-filled believer. And when you nurture those and you speak them, that becomes a word expressed. And that can do damage to other people. So Brother Benjamin is saying, don't let another negative thought anchor in your mind. So here's the prophet. He's saying, this is human nature, folks. You've got the Holy Ghost. This is how you live. So he says, bring that thought that sets itself against the knowledge of God, bring it into the obedience of the person of Christ.
Amen.
Bring that negative thought subject to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
That takes self-control. That takes a man who is sure on the truth and not so easily tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That takes a man that hates covetousness and not swinging over there and saying, oh, no, that's an error from this. It takes a man of truth. Dathan and Korah set themselves against that. And God said, move out of the way, Moses. Opened up the earth, swallowed, and closed it back. I want to offer you a simple solution to a complex problem. That's Brother Ben's line. It's actually his consulting slogan, but I stole it because it's beautiful. I want to offer you a simple solution to a complex problem. Now, I genuinely believe this. Brother Branham said, I can't offer you a formula for it because it's a supernatural thing. You operating in unity with the brothers in the Word is a supernatural thing. You can't manufacture that. Because if someone can convince you into something, then someone's going to come right along to convince you out of it. You understand? So you have the fragility there of being convinced. It's not an intellectual thing. It's a supernatural thing. But I believe men with the Holy Ghost can dwell together in the unity of the faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that you can exist. Differences are all there. You can dwell together in unity. Brother Branham, he says, and I'm going to close here just a little bit. God has a program, and that program is written in His Word. And His Word said we should all be one all together. It's just, it blows my mind. Every quote that I found, right? And I went through and I looked for the consistency between the beginning of His message and the end of His message, right before He passes away. I looked for that consistency all down through the message. And so I went back in all the early sermons and all the middle sermons and all the end sermons, and He consistently says, we should all be one. Brother Bannon knew that there would be separation because the Word brings separation.
Amen.
We're not going to go and join churches with the Catholic Church.
Right.
There's truth and error, and we are united with the truth. Amen. Are you with me?
Right.
But within the whole, there can be dissenting factions.
Right.
That's what the division is. So He says, we should all be one altogether, not a divided divisions and fusses and stews, but we should be one. Christ prayed that we would be one. He said, this will all men know that you are my disciples when you have love one for another.
Amen.
How can gifts and signs work in a church? How can God perfect His church when there is so much division among us? And He says, how can, when one says this and one says that, and one something else, and all the contrary, one to another. I begin to think about that service, that you speak the same thing, that you have the same judgment. I begin to think, that is a lost cause. Right? I mean, come on, Paul is saying, you need to speak the same thing. Are you telling me that in the entirety of the message community, we're all going to speak the same thing? What happened? What he's saying is that you speak the same thing according to the Word of God. You let Christ be higher than your opinion of it.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
You lift Christ up, not the personality.
Right.
Now, you can't have the deliverance of truth apart from personality. Right?
Right.
You've got to have that. You've got to have the craziness of Steve and the brashness of his youth. You've got to have that, but you've got to have Bob. Are you with me? So he's saying, within that, you've got to have that, but the objective, the goal, is the unity of the faith. And that does not imply uniformity. That means you and your differences, and you and your complexes, and you and all of your things, we all come together into the sole purpose of lifting Christ higher.
Yeah.
We lift the Word higher. We set that higher, not the personality.
Right.
Not the individual.
Yeah.
It's not about Brother Steve and his assembly.
Right.
No, it's not about that. If you get bought into that, then Brother Steve is taken off the scene. You're just, well, where do I go now? I guess I go over here.
Yeah.
Not men that are sure on the truth.
Yeah.
It's not, that's what that implies, is that we unite underneath the sole purpose of lifting Christ up.
Amen.
Christ prayed that we would be one. He says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, And that they may be, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I gave unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one.
Amen.
That the world may know that thou hast sent me,
Amen.
And hast loved them,
Amen.
As thou hast loved me. You can't have this without the supernatural being among us.
Amen.
You can't have this without the ability to surrender to Him so that He can move you and shape you and mold you.
Amen.
The objective is not to be stagnant and stay the same. The objective is to be molded and shaped. Right? Not to fly off the handle. Someone starts a church down there, well, we can't associate with them. Or you know, somebody preaches this way in Pentecost, and somebody's not this way, or somebody preaches this has this kind of music, and somebody doesn't. Fly off the handle, and it sets divisions, and it can divide congregations without even them realizing what they're caught up in.
Amen.
He says, first, finally, this is the instruction. This is the simple solution to a complex problem. He says, finally, brother. Now, again, I can't give you the step-by-step. Now, this is what you need to do. You need to do blah, 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 blah. It's a supernatural thing.
Yeah.
You have to invite the Holy Spirit into our midst,
yeah.
and be willing to surrender to the Holy Ghost working.
Yeah.
Not to facilitate error, to facilitate the truth
Amen.
Being lifted up.
Yeah.
We rise to Christ. We rise to the truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
He says, finally, be all of one mind. Who's? The mind of Christ. Having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing,
Amen.
But be contrarywise, blessing.
Amen.
Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit blessing.
Amen.
What it means, be like-minded, united in spirit. Be sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, courteous and compassionate, toward one another as members of one household. Humble in spirit, never return evil for evil, never insult for insult. Avoid scolding, berating, and any kind of abuse. Give a blessing and pray for one another. One another's well-being.
Amen.
Contentment and protection.
Amen.
Simple solution to a complex problem. Well, see, that's it. That's all I've got to do. No. This takes the Holy Ghost in our midst.
Amen.
This takes Steve saying, Lord, less of me,
yes.
and being fervent in figuring out what that actually means and what it looks like in my life.
Amen.
Not just saying it, but saying, Lord, less of me, and being willing to accept the consequences of that profession.
Amen.
Because you better believe there will be consequences.
Amen.
It takes humility, and humility is embarrassing.
Amen.
It takes being able to be humble and approach. It takes being willing to be silent and saying, well, maybe there is an error there, and not to jump on it and say, maybe the Lord is leading you to wait. Maybe the Lord is doing whatever it is. You fill in the blank.
Right.
It takes Steve examining himself. The scripture does not, and I'm finishing, it does not say, it does not imply ignorance.
Amen.
Scripture never implies ignorance. God made you with the ability to critically think.
Right.
He made you. He made every single one of you smart. Right?
Mm.
He did. He said that. I fearfully and wonderfully made you.
Right.
All of you have the ability to think. God gave you that ability. Now, Satan can use it because reason is an avenue. Mm. But you critically think. God himself said, come, let us reason together.
Right.
On the basis of what? My thought, my perceived truth? No. On the basis of the word.
Amen.
Able men. Men who hate covetousness. That's who God wanted to fill the assembly and the congregation with. Men who were sure on the truth. And say, you know what? I don't think I need to say that about that brother. Or, you know what? I'm going to self-examine myself and critically think about myself. And reason with the Lord together on the basis of the word. God never implied ignorance. He implied critically thinking and reasoning and saying, Lord, that's a part of self-examination. And to have this kind of unity and allow the Spirit to work in our midst and to divide error and right and to follow the truth requires a man to be humble and to approach God in a way and critically think, Lord, I know what I'm doing wrong. And I need to make it right. It takes honesty. It takes being sure in the truth. Not wanting to heaven help us.
Amen.
I say, heaven help us.
Amen.
When I just was thinking all of this, I said, Lord, I want to be someone who brings brothers to lift Christ up. I don't know a lot. I'm not smart, but I want to lift Christ up together so that the spirit of wisdom and of truth can work according to our knowledge of him and work effectively among us, not divide. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, if there is anything that I pray for, Lord, it's I want to be a man of truth. I want to be a man of truth. But I want to realize that I'm just as full of complexes and issues as the next guy. We're all trying to serve you. Lord, I want to rally behind the cause of Christ. I don't want to be caught up in something I don't even realize I'm caught up in. Caught up in a thought or something that we may not even be aware of. Lord, search me, O God. Let me be sure. Let me be stable in the truth. Let me hate covetousness. Let me fear you. Trust you. May that be the truth. In name we pray. Amen.
Scripture says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto you. He says, when I go in among people, he says, I just lift up Christ.
Amen.
He said, the bride always comes to that.
Amen.
So Brother Branham didn't spend his life fighting the devil.
Right.
Brother Branham spent his ministry and his life lifting up Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? He knew the bride would come to it. You don't need to spend your life today Christ has been lifted up among us.
Amen.
Somehow or another, the bride just loves that word. They love it. They just love the Christ among us. We've heard good things today. We've heard many good things today. Today is not over, but we've heard many good things today. I'm glad I've been in the house of the Lord. I feel like I've been spoken to. I feel like I've been ministered to.
Amen.
God has a way of saying things that only He can say. Amen. Falling in love with Jesus. Best thing I've ever done. Let's sing it tonight. This afternoon we're going to let you go. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. The best thing I've ever done. In His arms I feel protected. In His arms never disconnected. In His arms I feel protected. No place I'd ever be. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the word today. All we've heard and all we've learned. Lord, in the ways You challenge us, in the ways, Lord, we tap into Your infinite wisdom. Lord Jesus, we feel we are blessed. We are blessed more than we deserve. And I pray now, Lord, that You would allow the word to sink deep within our hearts, like seeds that fall into good ground. May they become great trees, Lord, of faith in our lives. I thank You, O God, because You make Your word so clear and so real. And I ask that You would bless these ministers, Lord. And I just pray that You would give them, Lord, the strength back that they've given out to us today. It's been a special day. And now, Lord, we reserve our energy and our hearts, Lord, for this evening's service. We pray that You would anoint Brother Samuel. Lord, let him just rest in that place of peace, Lord, that only You can give. We thank You for these brethren, Lord, and their desire to hear from You, Lord, and to serve You with all of their hearts. Have Your way, Lord, among us, we pray. In the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Supper is at 5:30. Service is at 7:30. All right? 7:30.